marriage and we looked at the design of marriage. And this week we're going to take a peek at the dedication of marriage. Marriage is a thing that's it's real easy to get into, but there's a whole lot of process to keeping in it. It's not easy is what I'm saying. And there's a reason why, and I'll show you at the end of the message why it's so hard to stay married in this day and age. Amos chapter 3, if you look at verse number 3, we looked over this last week. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? More people than not use this as their divorce mantra. Irreconcilable differences. Irreconcilable differences. But those differences usually are there before they get married. Lust just gets in the way. I've heard a lot of people preach different things about marriage and divorce and things like that. But here's the test of it right there, the answer to that question. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, if one of you is a plotting devil and the other one's trying to live for the Lord, you're not agreeable. What service hath the temple of God with idols? You can't get those things together. But if you look up the words marry, marriage, husband, wife, and bride, they're found in 160 times in 153 verses. So the Bible does have a lot to say about this subject. But last time, like I said, we looked at design. Now we look at the dedication of marriage. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. The first thing we look at in the dedication of marriage is there is a division in marriage. You are not created equal. There are two of you. Both of you are different. If you're both the same, you shouldn't be married. You'll get that in a minute. God never intended for two men to shack up and two women to shack up and call herself married by any authority in this world. Every time you see apostasy show up in the Bible, there's a crowd of sodomites there. When there's revival, the king puts them out. It is a sickening sin before the eyes of God. It is worse than the other sins, by the way. The Bible says so. You are never convinced me that Hitler's going to suffer like a guy that killed a guy in self-defense or something like that, or killed a guy and plotted against him. He killed over 6 million people. You'll never convince me Charlie Manson's okay right now. He's not in the same place that the guy that stole paper clips from his office is. You won't convince me of that. You can make yourself believe that all you want to, but God and his word says different. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, here's what your Bible says. And be not drunk with wine, command. Period. God don't want you sipping on the wine glass. There's diabetics right now sitting in their house drinking wine, wondering why the sugar's going up. You know why. It ain't your medicine problem. It's your drinking problem. You call yourself an alcoholic. God calls yourself a drunkard. Those are two very different things. Alcoholism shows there's a disease, but a drunkard shows there's an addiction. Yeah. And before you get sideways with me on anybody here or outside of the viewing audience or whatever, I've got news for you. The worst drug in America is alcohol. So why is that? Because it's been legalized the longest. I very rarely run into a case where a man was smoking dope, doing cocaine or whatever, and killed a family of six while he's impaired driving. But there sure is a lot of them things happening in America the last 100 years, hadn't they? You're approaching the 100th year of the anniversary of them making it legal here. We're just 2 decades away from that. Like the cigarette commercial says, you've come a long way, baby. Now every town in the South sells it. There used to be this thing we'd hear about called dry counties. There are none of them. Sin has overswept all of that. But he says there in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but instead of doing that, he said, be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit don't mean you flop around on the floor like you got some kind of seizure or something like that. It don't mean you swing from the chandeliers. It means you let God control your entire life and you give it to him right then and let him control it. And when you wake up tomorrow, you get up and say, Lord, I'm going to be filled with the Spirit again. I want your word to abide in me and me abide in you, and you guide me and direct me in every step and stop. And when God takes over, he'll start pointing out the things he wants you to do. They'll be clear in his word. And especially in the division of marriage, I've never met a spirit-filled Christian ever that's agreed with the position marriage has taken in America in the 21st century.
Right.
Never met one. Never met one citizen that said it's okay to be, you know, have a wife and then have two or three girlfriends on the side. All spirit-filled guys say, no, repent of that evil wickedness called adultery. I've never seen a spirit-filled Christian sit in a church pew waiting on the time they can turn 18 and run out the church doors.
Right.
You reckon that's happened a few times? I believe it has. Listen, they good to, while in your house, they get out of your house, they're going to go nuts. But if they spirit-filled now, they'll be spirit-filled then, and God will use them in both places, and they won't do old dumb things like that. I didn't even say they was lost. I said they wasn't spirit-filled. Now figure that out. So why do you believe like that? Because you're saved by grace through faith. There's the easy part. Here's the hard part. And be filled with the Spirit. You know why people won't do that? Pride. But if we're looking at the division in marriage, you seek preparation through prayer. And before you ever get down to verse 21, you got to get to verse 18 first. You got to be filled with the Spirit to get down here to verse number 21. There's where your marriage is dealt with. I say this to the people that don't understand it. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, that's about a marriage. Because the context, he's fixing to say, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. But before any of that ever happens, you got to be spirit-filled to get that thing accomplished. You'll notice also when there's a division in marriage, it's because it's two different homes providing a person to go into a new home, and you got to secure permission from the parents. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, to honor thy father and thy mother. That applies to your would-be in-laws too. You've got to honor them. And listen to this. Here's the hardest part. You may wind up with a bad set. But whether they do right or not, you got to do right. See how quiet it gets, because everybody hates their in-laws. I got news for you. You better turn that into love, because you'll never be filled with the Spirit talking about, I hate that person. You got to get that out of your vocabulary and get it out of your life and confess it to God as sin. Get it under the blood of Jesus. Let him remove it far from you and get back to what's supposed to be right there. So that's hard. You hadn't met mine. I've met all of them. I wouldn't want to be married to your wife either. I understand. And it's her in-laws that kept the other suitors away. But I'm going to tell you something. You chose to be there. You chose to be in it. Do right. I had a lady tell me one time, flat out, said, my husband's an idiot. I said, well, you married him, not me. So what do you want me to do about it?
Come on.
You want me to come over and, you want me to come over and live with you or something? So you act right while I'm married. Well, she said, well, I might. He always does right when you're around. Oh, boy. Talking about a division in marriage. There's one right there, right? Also, when you're getting married, the Bible teaches us, listen to this, to search for a person of your particular background. Look over at Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. I'm going to tell you a Wayne Elder story. Brother Billy Elder's daddy. Brother Billy told me he went to date this girl up in Chesney. And Wayne told him, said, listen here, son. He said, if she ain't good enough for her own people, she ain't good enough for you. Let that sink in for just a minute. I thought when he said it, I thought, man, check that out. If she ain't good enough for her own people, she ain't good enough for you. You know, me and Lisa had to go to be tested one time at the Greer Genetics Clinic because they heard we had two kids with the same diagnosis. They said, that don't happen. We got to test them. First question on the little sheet, the guy says, now, Mr. Little, are y'all brother and sister?
Yeah.
I said, now look here, I might be from Gaffney, but we all don't do that here.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 24, look at verse 3. Bible says this, and I will, he's talking to his servant there in this chapter. He says, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites. Remember, them people's cursed. You go through the Bible past Genesis chapter 9, you see how many times it calls Canaanites cursed all the way through the Old Testament. I mean, it keeps saying it, and it's never stopped saying it. He says that thou shalt not take a wife of my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. You get that? See, the problem in this situation right here is Abraham's wandered too far away. He needs to be back over here, but he got way out over here. But even though he said, now Isaac's getting ready to get married, go back over and get him a wife. Wonder if he found one. Of course he did. They went to the smoking section, and they got the camels, and boy, she started running then, didn't she? Bible said they rode back on 10 camels. I had a man tell me one time that smoked cigarettes. He said, I'm so glad that's in the Bible. He said, when it says she lighted off the camel, I was so glad. I knew she might not have had a lighter, but she had another friend there smoking with her. I said, you make the Bible say anything you want to if you really look out to, can't you? So you got a partner you want to be close to your background. Look it over at Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9. They were in captivity over there. Daniel writes about it, and he went into captivity probably as a teenager, maybe even in single digits in his age, and at age of 70, he looks back over his whole life and all that. The Bible said he took the book of Jeremiah, gave him understanding about the captivity he is in and why they fell into it. We get over to Ezra chapter 9, they return back into the homeland, and verse number 1 said, now when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests of the Levites have not separated themselves from among the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even the Canaanites, the Hittites, there's them Canaanites again, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished. The man of God pulled his own hair out and his own beard out because it was so bad that he saw all that stuff right there. You're missing the point if you think that's about interracial stuff. That's about following the things of God. Let me ask you a question. When I tell you, listen, when you search for somebody that's close to your background, did you really think I was talking about racial people? You better watch out for their religion. Right. You know, I've had so many people come up to me and tell me how nice these Muslims are. I am so mistaken about them. I do apologize. Not. I'll tell you why. When our current president gave all them millions of dollars to Iran a few weeks ago, boy, the missiles started flying from Iran into Israel, didn't they? They had 400 sirens go off last night and couldn't sleep for missiles incoming into that country. They're sending drones in there. Tell me again how nice them people are. Let me tell you where they're nice at. They're nice in Gaffney, South Carolina. You know why? We got police that'll put them in jail for their thoughts if they knew what they're thinking. Yeah. Oh, well, you don't understand. The Catholics believe like we do. I doubt that. I notice every year when they get together, the little compromise, what do you call that thing, the ministerial association where all of them get together and hold hands and all this other stuff. I've noticed something about that. The Lutheran guy preaches for the Methodist preaches for the Presbyterian preaches for the Baptist preaches for the Holiness, but then they all meet at the Catholic Church and the priest takes over. And they wonder why I don't join. I'm not holding hands with some woman preacher up there in town and standing around a flagpole for anybody. Amen and amen. Amen. So I don't like it. Wait till I preach that message on women preachers in a few weeks. You really get good. You'll get good and soaked then. I'm still against all that stuff, by the way. He said, you run into this crowd right here, and they got all them false gods, all them false religions, all them cults over there, and he started pulling the hair out of his own head. Ain't that something? I ain't seen a preacher get that tore up since they told him I was going to cut his pay in half. Modern apostasy. I know you don't preach for money, but if they take it away, you sure do look for a job, don't you? Let's see what else I got here. Oh, yeah, here's another. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. I don't want to get you too off course tonight. I'm trying to help you out. But I found something out. If you don't make people mad, they'll never check behind you. And if they don't check behind you, they'll never figure out what's going on. If they don't figure out what's going on, you've not helped them. So I want to make you happy and sad and mad all at the same message. I want you to cry, laugh, and then get really mad and go home and see if I was right about any of this stuff. Now here's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. And as we look at this, I want you to keep in mind that this is quoting back from Genesis chapter 2 and 3 back there, Genesis chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Did you just read what I read? You got to get away from mom and daddy.
Right.
You got to run your house. There's people, for whatever reason, they never get out of their parents' lap even after they're 20-something years old. They say, well, I'm going to get married. But they stay over at their mama's house because they can't afford groceries. Mama, me and hun's coming home to dinner. Okay. Mama won't tell you no. Daddy's mad, but mama ain't going to tell you no. You show up daddy, he says, what are you doing here, boy? Only some bread. You know what daddy's trying to teach you? Be a man.
That's right.
You cannot be attached to your parents and attached to your wife at the same time.
Right.
Because what you will do is you will heed more over here than you will heed over here. And before long, them two females are going to come to a thing. Because they both going to try to tell you what to do, and one's going to have more authority, and the other one's going to figure it out. So I'm mad. You just wait. As for the woman, if you don't cut that umbilical cord, you will be in a mess when mama dies.
Right.
I heard my pastor preach this years ago when I first got saved. He said, if you don't cut that umbilical cord, you're going to be a mess over here somewhere. He said, "Goes why? Because that's what it takes to make a marriage, a man and a woman.
Right.
None of us have perfected it. None of us have arrived, but there's your two building blocks right there. And they're both built on Christ, because he said in the very next verse, this is a great mystery that I speak concerning Christ and the church. Why do people get tore up about this stuff? Why is there a division in marriage? Because nobody knows which side to be on. Well, you know, I understand what you're saying, preacher, but you don't understand. If I stand up my wife, I'll be divorced. Divorce her. Put her out. Take her back to her mama. She ain't your wife no way. She's mama's wife. Or daddy's wife. Now, I don't mean that in no sexual sense. That's who's running the marriage is them. She said, well, my husband's letting his parents run us. Take him and drop him back off at their house. You know what'll happen? He'll figure out about 10 o'clock tonight how much he really misses you. And he's going to say, you know what? I was really stupid for doing that. I ought to do what that preacher said, because that's what the Bible says. I'm mad at him and I'll never apologize, but I'll get right with God and her right quick. You ever wonder why they tell you got to have rhinoceros skin and do this? Because people hate your guts for what you say more than what you do.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. You know why? Jesus loves me.
Right.
And you will eventually. It just takes time.
Yeah.
I've suffered through things like that, and all of a sudden people tell me, preacher, you're the best things ever happened to me outside of getting saved. Thank you. I wouldn't try to steer you wrong on purpose. I'd take you being mad at me. Because sometimes you're mad at God and you can't see him, so you take it out on me. I'm good with that. It'll work itself out. But you mark this down. If you do not give heed to what I'm saying about this, you will be served divorce papers between now and the next 2 or 3 years. See, this is not this is not a lesson on marriage. This is the test.
Yeah.
The lesson comes afterwards. That's what reality does. School's got it backwards. They give you a lesson, a test. God gives you a test, then a lesson. You know why? You tend not to ever forget them.
Yeah.
You know how many days it takes in South Carolina from 1985-ish? When you move from one dwelling to another, you got 10 days to change your license if you're a resident. 10 days, not 30, not 60, not 90. So why do you know that? Because that's the thing I failed on the test. That's the one score, that's the one thing I missed on getting a perfect test on my driver's license. They may have changed the laws then, but I knew back then, I thought it was 30 days. Everything's 30 days. You can't get your power cut off to 30 days and blah, blah, blah. That lady said, it's 10 days. You read your handbook. Listen to me. There's a division in marriage. There's a reason why there's a division there. It's because the devil hates you. There's also a delight in marriage. Let me tell you about the good things of marriage. Number one is there's the light because of the children involved, according to 1 Corinthians 7:14. You got husband, wife, and children. Children are great. Children never ruin a marriage. They're innocent the whole thing. But if you defend their behavior now, you have to hire a lawyer to do it later.
That's right.
There's some people who have not figured out that once the child is born, you don't cut off the spouse and just sit there and dote on the child all the time.
That's right.
You better be doting on your spouse, because that thing will eat you out of house and home, grow up and leave and go make the same dumb mistakes he just saw you do, like he hadn't got good sense.
Yeah.
Happens all the time. But I told my wife last night, I believe looking back on when the children were little, she had put a picture up about Justin and Jordan, Jenna's all little babies playing. That's the best years with children.
Yeah.
You know why? You'd still beat them up back then. They do what you say, and they eat when you say eat, and the whole nine yards. Say amen right there. They get older and learn how to talk, and it's uphill from there, boy. But when they're little like that, it's great. It's great to have children. But we love our children. We loved them back then. We love them now. And we enjoy being around them. But I see so many people run to these big churches. They're not there for the children's ministries. Oh, no, 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 no. They're there for the babysitting. We visited a church down at a place called Myrtle Beach, and I won't name the church. Independent Baptist Church, big church. I thought, Lord, we've never seen Independent Baptists have this big a church. There must be some kind of compromise going on this thing, you know. That's what you think. Good preacher, good song leader, all that. Walk in the door and I notice mama went this way, daddy goes this way, the kids go this way, the teenagers go this way. I thought you called that thing a family worship center. Is that right? They call a gym a family life center. I began to notice something. A lot of these churches and the little ones started doing it too after that. You don't never see reason they come to church like that so they can get away from their kids. Why are you doing that? You're going to lose your children.
Right.
I ain't saying bad things happen when you separate them, but I think we ought to come together.
Yeah.
Be together as a church. You know why we don't have children's church here? Number one, I don't think it's a nerve pill big enough for me to put up with it.
Yeah.
And number two, I know this. You got a church split waiting to happen right there.
Yeah.
This thing ain't designed for children's church and doing object lessons and all that. It's designed for preaching this book and singing out that hymn book and giving out that pocketbook. And we do that as a family of God, not as a divisions of God.
Right.
I think the only divisions there ought to be is there ought to be a church here and a church somewhere else, a church somewhere else. That's enough divisions right there. When you come to church, you ought to be able to sit with your children, look at your children, look over and go, and then know them.
Come on. That's right.
I made sure Grandma, when she died, somebody got that family ring away from her. I'd sit in church, I'd get 12 diamonds right across the head. Bap, shut up, boy. And if I started to cry, she said, I'll give you reason to cry. I've never understood that, but I'll give you reason to cry. You just hit me in the head with a ring with 12 stones in it, and I'm wanting to cry. And you're telling me you'll give me reason to cry? How worse can it get? So under my head didn't come out looking like Ivan Koloff or something. I got hit so much when I was a kid with that thing. Lucky I didn't have scars and blood everywhere. Go to church, face with a crimson mask on it, you know. But you got to take, when you're going through that kind of stuff and you got children involved in your marriage, is make sure the children are shown love and attention and shown discipline as well. You can't show them one without the other. You got to give them all of it. And there's such a delight in marriage because of the kids. And by the way, I hear people tell me about my poor little handicapped kids. Bless your heart. No, bless your heart. We got it made. Our kids are great. We love them. They're loving children. Do we have a lot to put up with? Well, no, we ain't never done it the other way. So I don't know what I'm missing. So I got it made, I guess. And if I don't, please don't tell me. Because I'd hate to think I don't have it made like I do, like I think I do now. You get that, right?
Yeah.
Listen to this. It's because of a command involved in the Bible in Proverbs 18, verse 22. Whoso findeth a wife, here it is, findeth a good thing.
Right.
If you are married, there's a delight in marriage because you find a wife, or you found a good thing.
Right.
I'm talking about a good thing. I heard Brother Emery say some things the other day, and I won't repeat them like he said them, but I agreed with every one of them. Tell you what there was. We didn't have to get out a board game on our marriage night and go to the thing and take all these Nintendos and all that with us when we went. We figured out what was going on.
Right.
I didn't even know that was in the Bible and believed it back then.
Right.
And still believe it.
Yeah.
Listen to this. It's because of the consecration involved. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, there's a consecration involved in marriage. Everybody's got to have this or it don't work. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Down at verse 2. Here it is, 1 Corinthians 7, 2. He says, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." Do you get the consecration there? I don't sit around and hold hands with other women.
Right.
Or other men.
That's right.
I ain't going to do that. And listen, there should never come a time where that's like that.
Right.
That's how you avoid all the problems. There, you consecrated to one person. I am one of the few men that I know of that don't read car magazines and keep up with every model of car that's out. I can spot whether they're a Ford or a Chevrolet or Dodge or something like that. But as far as which year model, I may or may not know. I've seen 100 cars like mine since we bought that one, and I never seen one before. It seemed like maybe one or two here and there. Now it's like everybody's got one of these things. And somebody said, well, that there's a 2016. I thought, how in the world would you know? Is it big letters on there and I'm missing it? Here's a good one for you. Your van is a Dodge Grand Caravan XTS 2014 model. Say, boy, that's impressive. I know, right? Well, I just heard it yesterday. I took her to AutoZone. Daddy's over there with the hood up and sitting in the car with air conditioning on, obviously. And we sit over there, and we walk in. She looks at me and says, "Does that thing say SC or what on the back of it?" I said, "I have no idea." And the guy at the first thing said, "You can't look at him and tell." I said, "No, I have no idea. If it don't have the little thing on it." I went in to get a battery one time. They said, "Now, is that a 4.2 or a 3.8? And has it got..." I don't know. I'll go get the VIN number and you can tell me from there. I don't know. Most men, they said, "Boy, that's a good 87, blah, blah." And I'm thinking, how do you know this stuff? How do you look at that car and know that? There's a few of them I know what a 57 Chevrolet looks like. But if you parked a 56 beside it, I'd probably swear it's the same thing. Are you getting this so far?
I'm
not. But here's the thing. I'm getting to this. If I buy a car, like out there, I'm not looking at other cars.
Right.
I ain't bought a car and been in a new car so long. When I got that one, the guy handed me this little key fob thing, and he says this. He said, "Crank it up." I said, "How?" He said, "Push that button." And I'm like, "What?" He didn't know it. I was ready to buy the car right there. I thought, man, push button car, I'm in. And nothing happened. Thing popped up on the dash, said, "Please press the brake and the button at the same time." I thought, shut up. This thing talks to you, but it's in Braille where I can understand my subtitles. I pushed that brake and the car said, "Broop," come right on. I didn't look at another car on the lot. I was ready to buy that one. Day I got married, October 27th, 1991. On the 28th, I went down there looking for another one. And I'm going to tell you something. As long as you keep doing that, your marriage is going to have problems over and over and over and over. And listen, I'm so dumb, and some women come along trying to flirt and everything. I don't got to figure that out. I don't want none. I want her to go away. But if she don't get the message, mama will tell her. Right. And I'm the same way by her. She ain't available to go to lunch with you anytime, sir.
Right.
And most ma'ams. Now, as we look at this thing about consecration, we talk about care being involved, and we talk about there's also one last part to this marriage thing.